This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day, a great day to be together in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome you for those who are joining us here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream. We are grateful to be together. I've had an opportunity to meet some folks who are with us for the very first time, and we hope that you feel welcomed and feel the Spirit of Christ in this place. As all of us gather, I would invite you to sign in and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again, and let us know that you're here. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link in the chat that you can click on to sign in. If you are perhaps visiting and looking for a place to call your spiritual home, we would love to talk with you more about that and tell you more about who God is calling West End to be. So I would invite you to share an email address or a mailing address, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you for that conversation. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. Tomorrow is the Memorial Day holiday, where we spend time remembering those who have lost their lives in the violence of war. The church office will be closed in commemoration of that holiday. Next Sunday is Pentecost, June 5th, and we hope that you'll be here for a wonderful celebration of the birth of the church. And that will also be the beginning of our summer Sunday school series. At 9:45 every Sunday during June and July, all the adult Sunday school classes are invited to gather downstairs in McWhorter Hall. And it's a great time if you don't have a Sunday school class or you've kind of been looking for one, it's a great time to come and participate and meet new people and learn together. Vacation Bible School is coming up at the end of June, and you can register if you have children. You can go to our website /VBS to register, and it's going to be a great week. We're experimenting with an evening VBS to see how that goes, so we hope that you and your families can participate. I wanted to give you a heads up that we're having some fire alarm issues, and if by chance, it hasn't happened so far, if by chance the fire alarm goes off, we're just going to pretend like it's not happening. Unless Robert comes in and says there's actually a fire, then we'll leave. But there's a water pressure issue. So hopefully it won't happen and we'll be fine. But I just didn't want you to be alarmed by the fire alarm. I'm here all week. At 8:45 this morning in worship, we commissioned a group of 12 youth and 3 adults who are going to Alaska on a mission trip, and they leave Friday, so I wanted you all to know that so that you could be in prayer for them also in the upcoming week. And finally, as our service begins, I want to make sure to introduce Francis Merritt to you. Francis is coming on our staff this year in the area of congregational care as a pastoral fellow, and she is a licensed local pastor and will be with us for the next few months, and we wanted you to begin getting to know her, so she will be one of our liturgists this morning, and I wanted to introduce her to you. This morning, we are wrapping up our series on the membership vows, and we consider together what it means to be a witness for Christ in our world. So as we open our hearts to hear that invitation and to sing and celebrate together, let us worship now the God who calls us to be God's witnesses.
Thank you. Christ's crucifixion is a testimony to his love for humankind. Christ's resurrection is a testimony for his victory over death.
We bear witness to the joy of Christ.
All are invited to participate in the life of Christ, both suffering and joy.
We enter
the family of Christ, bear witness, may the testimony of his life be a light to guide us tomorrow. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are free from our captivity to sin and death. With gratitude of God's marvelous love for all the world, let us confess our sins and confident that we will receive grace and mercy. Holy One, you have made yourself nothing so that everyone might receive you. To confess that we suffering of our neighbors, the joy of our friends, the small divine interaction that shape our days. Focus our own plans, goals, and longings. We miss your presence in the world around us. Let our witness to your crucifixion invite us to healing justice. Let our witness to your set us to celebrate life. Let our witness to your compassion invite us to attentiveness to the world around us. Our bearing witness brings us closer to you and your abundant love. And now, O Lord, we offer your individual confession in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for our sins that prove God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are
forgiven. Glory to God. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way that you are comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Now let us pray the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
hearts are being seated, I'll invite any children who are here to come forward if you'd like. And if you're joining us online, to move a little closer to your screens. We had a pretty good crew at 8:45. Aw, children at heart. Anybody else? We're all children at heart, so you're all going to be part of this moment with me. I want to tell you a story following up on the song we just sang. I love that song. That's a camp meeting song for me and my family. This is a story I'm going to tell you from a book called The Rabbit Listened. Now, I'm not going to turn the pages and read the whole book, partly because not everybody can see. I'm going to tell you the story, but there are some cool pictures in here. There was this kid named Taylor who liked to play and build with blocks. So one day he built this cool block thing. He was so proud of it. He was enjoying it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm not sure how a flock of birds got in his house, but they flew and knocked over his beautiful building. And you can imagine all of the feelings that Taylor must have had. Sadness, anger, frustration, all of it. So one by one, these animals came by to talk to Taylor and try and make him feel better. The first one who came by was a chicken. And the chicken said, cluck, cluck, cluck. I bet you want to talk about it. Talk, 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 cluck, cluck, cluck. Didn't really help Taylor very much. Another animal that came along was a bear who said, boy, I bet you're angry. Why don't we growl together about it? Rawr! That didn't really help Taylor either. Kind of scared him a little bit. Then there are all these other animals who try to offer suggestions, like the hyena, let's just laugh about it. The ostrich, let's just bury our heads in the sand and forget it never happened. The snake, let's go knock someone else's down. But none of them helped Taylor. Until along came the rabbit. And the rabbit didn't even say a word. Just came and sat next to Taylor. Until Taylor said, please stay with me. And so the rabbit sat, and they sat together in silence. And then Taylor started talking. And Taylor shared with the rabbit how he was mad, how he was sad, how he was frustrated. He laughed. He was tempted to go ruin somebody else's, but decided not to. Until he'd gotten all of his feelings out and decided, you know what? I think I'm ready to start building a new one. And so they worked together. So one of the things this tells me is that sometimes we can be a friend just by showing up and being present to someone. And we talk about being a witness for who God is. Sometimes just being quiet and sitting with someone is a way of letting them know God is with them. And we don't even have to say a word. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for friends who can come alongside and sit with us and help us feel better and help us know that you're with us. If there's a chance we have this week to be present to someone, to help somebody remember that you're with them and they're not alone, give us eyes to see. Help us to be willing to sit with others, to show up in love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks to Pastor Maggie for lending me this book. And thank you all for coming and sitting on the floor with me. So today we talk about what it means to be a witness, to bear witness to Christ in the world. And when I think about this vow that we make when we become members of the church, to participate in the ministries of the church by our witness, I think about what that means. What does it mean to you when you hear that we're supposed to be witnesses for Christ? Well, I have to say that for me, I've often had a pretty narrow understanding of what that means. I used to think that to be a witness meant that you had to go and talk to somebody and tell them about your faith and tell them what you believe so that maybe they could come to belief. Or you could convince them to at least come to church with you. Now, that's one way of bearing witness, is through our words, through sharing our faith and inviting someone to join us in that faith or to come to church with us. But I think this morning I want to explore a broader understanding of how we bear witness to God in our world. Over this past year and a half, I've had the privilege of officiating at a lot of weddings. We had some weddings scheduled here in 2020 that got postponed to 2021. And so as a result, I had a lot of weddings that I got to do this past 18 months or so. And as beautiful as the wedding liturgy is in our United Methodist Book of Worship, my absolute favorite words come at the very end. Right before I tell the couple they can kiss each other, I have to give a benediction to all who've gathered. And the benediction goes like this: bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Isn't that beautiful? There's so many in the world today to whom love is a stranger. They don't know they're loved. They've never been told they're loved, certainly not by the church. There's so many to whom love is a stranger. So how do we bear witness to that love? How many different ways can we help people know that they are loved, that they are forgiven, that they are included, that they are precious in God's eyes? To dig into this a little more, we have before us the 10th chapter of Acts, and we have the example of Peter in this story. Now, the 10th chapter of Acts is a really long story. It's a wonderful story. I would encourage you to read the whole chapter on your own time if you have a chance. Rick was only able to read a little piece of it because it would have been too long to have the whole thing in worship, but let me give us a little bit of context. If you happened to worship with us last week, you know that Peter was in a town called Joppa. We find him there at the beginning of the 10th chapter of Acts, and he's sitting on the roof of the house where he's staying, and he's meditating. He's in a sort of trance, and he has this vision in which God brings before him all the animals of the earth, and God says, "All of these are clean. You shall no longer declare anything that I have made unclean." You see, Peter was Jewish by birth, and in the Jewish faith, he understood that there were some clean animals and some unclean animals. There were some foods you were supposed to eat and some you were supposed to avoid. But it becomes clear that this vision is not just about foods that you eat. It's about people. Because the Jewish people understood that they were to keep themselves separate from others who were not Jewish, from the Gentiles. They weren't supposed to eat at table with them or visit in their homes. And so he has this vision of these animals, and he's praying about it and pondering it when he gets some visitors. Now, these visitors are coming from a man named Cornelius. About the same time that Peter was praying, a man named Cornelius was praying. He was a Roman centurion, a Gentile, a high-ranking official in the occupying army of Judea. But during his time among the Jews, Cornelius had obviously come to respect their faith, come to have some sort of belief in Yahweh, the God of the Jews. He was a praying man and a generous man. And God gave him a vision too and said to Cornelius, "Send for a man named Simon Peter, who is in Joppa." And so Cornelius sent messengers. And as Peter is coming out of his prayer and meditation and the messengers arrive, they meet and they say, "Please come with us to the house of Cornelius." And Peter goes. And just by showing up at Cornelius's house, Peter is bearing witness. He's bearing witness to a God who is now including more people than Peter had ever thought. He's showing up in the home of a Gentile, eating at a table with a Gentile, and he says to them, "You know, Jews aren't supposed to do this, but God told me to be here." So already he's bearing witness to who God is. And then Cornelius tells him, "We've got all of these people assembled, my whole household. Now tell us what you want to tell us." And I love that moment because it's like, okay, here we are, we're waiting. And Peter's like, okay, well, I guess I better be ready to preach. But Peter doesn't preach necessarily. He doesn't try to condemn them and tell them if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. Or he doesn't tell them what they should and shouldn't do. He just tells them what he saw. He just bears witness. He says, there was a man named Jesus. And we got to travel with him, and we saw him heal, and we heard him teach, and he was crucified. But then he rose from the dead, and some of us got to see him resurrected. And I'm just here to tell you what I saw. And then the most amazing thing happened. While Peter was still talking, the Holy Spirit came and filled all of those who were in the room. That's a reminder that it's really not at all about Peter or his preaching skills. He's just telling what he saw, and the Holy Spirit came upon all of them. And Peter saw it happen. He witnessed the Holy Spirit filling the Gentiles, not just Jews anymore, but Gentiles too. And so then what happens in chapter 11? Peter goes and bears witness once again. He goes to the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, all of whom were Jews, and he tells them, y'all aren't going to believe this, but the Holy Spirit filled the Gentiles while we were watching. I saw it happen. Y'all, something's up. God is changing things, and we've got to change our minds. We've got to change the way we do things. He took what he had witnessed, and he shared it with the church. And they began to realize what God was doing in their midst was bigger than any of them had ever imagined. So we see Peter bearing witness in the 10th chapter of Acts just by showing up and being present, by telling what he knows, telling what he's witnessed and seen and experienced in his own life, and by going back to the church and saying, God is at work. And we've got to change. So how do we, the followers of Jesus today in the 21st century, bear witness to the love of God in this world? There are so many ways that you are already doing that. Many of you have our church t-shirts. God loves everyone unconditionally. We have it out on our banners, on our buildings. We've got car magnets that you can put on your car. And I cannot tell you how many people have walked in the doors of this church on a Sunday morning because they saw that message. And they want to be part of a church that bears witness to the unconditional love of God in this world. It speaks and it makes a difference. It has spoken to people to whom love is a stranger, who feel that they may not be welcomed or included or worthy enough to be in the church. But this church says, you are welcome. Everybody's welcome. We bear witness. I've seen many of you bear witness in the same way the rabbit did in the story with Taylor. Just showing up and being present when someone's hurting. Showing up at the home of someone who's lost a loved one. Just sitting with them. Being present in moments of struggle without a lot of words, just showing up and being and loving. I know that you've borne witness through your words, passing along what you know and what you've seen and experienced. I got permission from Bill Ferris to share a story that he shared in Bible study on Tuesday. You can correct me if I get any of the details wrong. Some of you know Bill as a cancer survivor, and he was invited last week to go to a fishing camp with other folks who were dealing with cancer. And there was a small group of them, and they were all there to fish together and share together. And there was a man in their midst whose name was Carlos. He'd been diagnosed with cancer after he'd been released from prison. At one point in his life, he was shot 9 times. The car he'd been in had over 20 bullet holes in it. And he told Bill, you know, I just don't know that God could ever forgive me for all I've done. And Bill, in that moment, was able to bear witness to what he had seen and heard in someone else's life and in his own life, to say, God's already forgiven you. The only thing left is for you to forgive yourself. Bearing witness to the forgiveness of God, bearing witness to the presence of God, bearing witness to the inclusive love of God. We can also bear witness to the hope of God and the dream of God, of the world that we might inhabit if we were to follow God and God's ways. We've had a tough couple of weeks, my friends, in our world, in our country. Two mass shootings back to back, one motivated by racial hatred, the other victims are children in a school. How do we bear witness to the love of God in a moment like this? We show up. I know the temptation to just shut it out. I can't deal with it. It's too much. But as the people of God, we are called to bear witness to the suffering in our world, to stay present to it, to hold it with God and with one another. We're called to bear witness to what we see, to name the truth, to speak out loud that it's not right that children in school should be living in fear. It's not right that someone who's barely an adult himself at 18 can walk in and buy a weapon of mass destruction when he can't rent a hotel room or rent a car. There's something wrong. And as the people of God, we can name that to our world. We can hold out before our world this vision of the prophets of God, that we would beat our swords into plowshares, that we would not be people who hold weapons, but people who build peace. We would hold on to the hope of our Messiah who says, let the children come to me. And woe to anyone who puts a stumbling block before any of these little ones. We hold on to the hope of our God, who looks for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We bear witness. And as Peter went to the church in Jerusalem, we go to those places of power where we can make a change and advocate for change. It's time to do better. So we are called to bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Who do you know in your circles of faith, the circles of friendship, of work, your circles of influence, for whom love might be a stranger? Go and be a witness.
If you will stand in body or in spirit, one of the ways that we are witness to God in this world and to one another is by professing our faith. So turn to page 883 in your hymnal and profess with me the statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, you can find a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. You can fill that out and put it in the offering plate in a few moments. If you're worshiping with us online, you can click the Contact Us button, and we would be so honored to pray for you throughout the week. Our deepest sympathies are extended to the friends and family, and the friends who are family, of our dear member, Martha Ann Likens, who passed away on Friday, May the 27th. A celebration of life will be held here at West End on Saturday, June 11th at 2 p.m., with a visitation starting at 1 p.m. in Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of protection and peace, we come to you weary, brokenhearted, and afraid. Why is it so dangerous to be a Black person in a grocery store? Immigrants from Taiwan in a church? Or a child at a desk in a classroom? We rub our eyes and will our minds to stop the imagery, for it's too much to hold. And yet, some must hold it. We know that you hold the images and very lives of those lost and those grieving. May the words of Isaiah 40:29 comfort and inspire us. God sees what is unjust. God hears our lament. God weeps with us when we grieve and grieves the heart of God. We grieve with and pray for the communities of Uvalde, for Buffalo, and for Laguna Woods. Lord, heal our collective wounds. Heal our individual hearts. Lord, give us a kingdom imagination to see and create a world without violence, starting with our own hearts and actions. Give us the courage and boldness to plead the case for our children, to take anti-racist action, and to hold tight to your promise that no matter what we do or don't do, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, we are held in your love. And now we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries here in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those of us worshiping online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our very hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
seated for just a moment. We have a group of folks who went through our new member class in April, and for various reasons were not able to come in person at the moment to join. And so Reverend Aaron Racine worked with them and asked them their membership questions over Zoom. And so those who are watching online right now will see an actual video, but those of us in the sanctuary are just going to hear an audio introducing these new members. You have their pictures with you in the bulletin. We actually have one of them here in person. There's Jennifer. Do you want to come up here? I'm putting you on the spot. You'll come up here. So I won't be up here by myself. This is Jennifer, and she's one of the ones who will be introduced, and you can be the representative of this class. And once they are introduced over the audio, then we will take our membership vows, welcoming them into the church. And they are worshiping with us right now, so they will hear our reception of them. So we'll take a moment and hear who they are.
I'd like to introduce you to Kavi and Tom Carmona. Kavi is a pediatrician, and Tom is a business consultant. They recently moved to Nashville from Chicago. This is Priscilla Epps and Matt Stover. They have a son named Lewis, who is 2 months old. Priscilla is originally from Mississippi. She's a physical therapist with Amadeus Physical Therapy, and Matt is originally from Louisville and works as a dentist with Dixon Dental. Priscilla is transferring from Golden United Methodist Church in Golden, Mississippi. This is Andrew Shaper. Andrew is married to Casey, who also recently joined West End. They have a son named Lincoln, who is 4 months old. Andrew is in sales with Predictive Health. This is Allison Shepherd. Allison is engaged to Kevin. She's an athletic trainer with Vanderbilt University Medical Center. She enjoys running in local road races, competing in triathlons, and she likes to serve by helping others. She's transferring from a Catholic church in Vermont. And last but not least, this is Jennifer Trux. Jennifer has a son named Benjamin. She enjoys riding her bike and cooking dinners with friends. She's transferring from Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Milton, Georgia. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your powers to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
I will.
And then for all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will.
I will. I will.
Some of you could probably hear a little one cooing in the background, which is one of the reasons that family is not worshiping in person right now. So there are lots of reasons, and it's just such a wonderful thing that the technology can allow us to do this together. And we're so grateful to have Jennifer actually with us in person. So I would invite you now, as members of this family of the body of Christ, if you would join with me in standing and welcoming our newest members. The family of God, these persons are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. I invite you to take a moment this morning and welcome Jennifer in person, and maybe write a note to our newest members. We'll have their addresses with us at the church so that we can continue to grow as a family of God. You know what the benediction's going to be. You might be even able to say it with me. Bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Amen.